bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Luke 2:10. And Luke 2:11. For today in the city of David, there has been born unto you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Luke 2:11. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Micah, chapter 2, verse 13. Micah chapter 2, verse 13. In just a few moments, we will read verses 12 and 13. But if you'll open your Bibles, please, to Micah chapter 2 and verse 13. Next Sunday is Christmas Day. We will be here. You will be here, I trust. And we'll be studying God's Word together on the day that we celebrate as the birthday of our Lord. Most of us are aware of the fact that the time specifically designated, the 25th of December, has been discussed through the years, and we have different opinions about the exact time. The point that is important is not the exact day, but the fact that Jesus Christ was born, God in the flesh, came to suffer and bleed and die for the sins of the world. And so we honor him every day, and next Sunday we'll be doing that again. May we pray together, please, before we begin our study this evening. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours tonight, once again to come to this place, to open our hearts and minds to the magnificent truths of God's eternal Word. We realize that the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We're responsible for hiding the Word of God in our hearts that we might not be in disobedience to your plan. And so we're thankful that we have this completed canon of Scripture. The Word of God from cover to cover is the Word of God for us, and we thank you for it. We pray that you will help us to determine in our hearts that we'll grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior and realize that Jesus said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we're to have the mind of Christ. And we thank you for this wonderful book, God's Word. And this is our roadmap. Help us to love and appreciate the wonderful Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Micah chapter 2, verse 13. I will read it, and then I will go back and read verse 12, and then again 13. The breaker goes up before them. They break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. So their king goes on before them, and the Lord at their head. Verse 12. I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep in the fold, like a flock in the midst of its pasture. They will be noisy with men. The breaker goes up before them. They break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. So their king goes on before them, and the Lord at their head. Most of you are aware of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has been referred to in the Bible by many different titles. He's been referred to as the prophet, the Lord, the Son of Man, Son of God, King of the Jews, Lamb of God, Christ, the new Adam, Rabbi, Apostle, Paraclete, Mediator, High Priest, Logos, Emmanuel, Head of the Church. I begin to try to find how many times in the Word of God we have the expression of Jesus in different ways. All through the years, I've referred to him as the lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the rose of Sharon. I've gone through all these many times. But I decided that I would see what God's Word says. And I found a number. Jesus is the Word of God, the last Adam, the bright and morning star, the rising sun, the living one. Jesus is the Amen, the true light, the righteous one, the Lion of Judah, the King of the Jews. Jesus is the gate, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, the true vine. Jesus is the seed of Abraham, the root and offspring of David, the faithful witness, Emmanuel, the capstone, the rock, the bridegroom, the firstborn among many brothers, the firstfruits. You'll have to understand that when I found all of this, not only did I find these expressions, but I found scripture references to each one of these. I'm not giving you that because of the lack of time to do it. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, the heir of all things. Jesus is the Lord, the head of the church, the chief shepherd, the prince, the man of sorrows, the Passover lamb, the horn of salvation, the consolation of Israel, the deliverer and redeemer, the author and perfecter of salvation. Jesus is the mediator, the high priest, the Son of Man. Out of all of these many names, I've discovered that the one that I want to present tonight is found in our verse of Scripture, and it's called Jesus the Breaker. I'm not sure whether you've ever heard this before, Jesus the Breaker. We find that in our Scripture here in Micah chapter 2 and verse 13. I decided what I would do is to do some research. With Micah 2:13, Jesus the Breaker, I decided that I would find different verses of different translations of that particular verse. I found in the Basic English Translation this expression of Micah 2:13. The opener of the way will go up before them, forcing their way out. They will go on to the doorway and out through it. Their king will go on before them, and the Lord at their head. That's the Basic English Translation of Micah 2:13. The Webster Revision Translation, listen to it carefully. The breaker has gone up before them. They have broken forth and passed on to the gate and are gone out thereat. And their king is passed on before them, and Jehovah at the head of them. The World English Bible translates it like this, Micah 2:13, and he who breaks open the way goes up before them. They break through the gate and go out, and their king passes on before them with Yahweh at their head. That's the World English Bible translation of Micah 2:13. The English Revised Version goes like this. The breaker is gone up before them. They have broken forth and passed on to the gate and are gone out thereat. And their king is passed on before them and the Lord at the head of them. Please understand that when I begin to look at a verse like this, I feel like it's important for me to do some research, and I've done some research, finding out what, for instance, Clark's commentary has to say. The breaker has come up, he who is to give them deliverance and lead them out on the way of their return. He who takes down the hurdles or makes a gap in the wall or hedge to permit them to pass through. A lot more information there, and then I found this statement. From this passage, the breaker through was one of the titles of the Christ known to the Jews as one who should be from below and from above also, and from it they believed that captives should come from Gehenna, or the presence of God, at their head. He then who shall break the way, the King and Lord, who shall go up before them, shall be the Good Shepherd, who puts them together in the fold. And this he doth when he, as he saith, he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. John 10:4. How doth he go before them, but by suffering for them, leaving them an example of suffering, and opening the entrance of paradise? The good shepherd goeth up to time cross, John 10:15, John 12:32, and is lifted up from the earth, laying down his life for his sheep, to draw all men unto him. He goeth forth, trampling on death by his resurrection. He goeth up above the heavens of the heavens, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, opening the way before them, so that the flock in their lowliness may arrive where the shepherd went before in his majesty. And when he thus breaketh through and openeth road, they also break through and pass through the gate and go out by it, by that gate, namely, whereof the psalmist said, "This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter into it." Psalm 118:20. I couldn't help but go on and read and read. And I found out that it says, from this passage, the breakthrough, as I repeated a few moments ago, is a title of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who should be from below and from above. And he be at the head. He then shall break the way the King and the Lord shall go up before them. What I've concluded is that this is an unusual verse indeed. Jesus, the breaker. What I want to do this evening is to tell you that when I came to Micah 2:13, I came to the conclusion that we needed to emphasize Jesus Christ as the breaker. Our Savior here is spoken of in Micah 2:13 as the breaker. The breaker has come up before them, it says. They have broken up. They passed through the gate, and they passed through the way, and they've gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. Without question, when I came to this particular verse of Scripture, I came to the conclusion this text has specific reference historically to the nation of Israel. If you read, for instance, the chapters 1 and 2 of the book of Micah, you will see that the Lord threatened severe but just punishment upon the individuals because of their ungodliness, because of their idolatry, and because of their eagerness to follow the false. If you'll notice, I want to repeat without question, this text of Scripture has specific reference historically to the nation of Israel. And if you read these first two chapters of the book of Micah, you will notice that the Lord threatens severe but just punishment upon those individuals because of their ungodliness, because of their idolatry, and their eagerness to follow that which is false. However, when we follow it through, we discover that God remembers all of them and all of us in mercy. He promised those disobedient Jews deliverance. He promised those disobedient Jews unreserved, merciful deliverance. He promised those Jews miraculous deliverance, deliverance which had the unmistakable stamp of divinity upon it. What I'm saying to you now, I trust, is rehearsing in your mind how God has moved through the centuries of time. And as we look at the timeline, we see the age of the Gentiles from Genesis chapter 1 through the last verse of Genesis chapter 11. When you go to chapter 12 of the book of Genesis, all of us have heard this many, many times, you'll find the presentation of the beginning of the age of Israel. If you follow that passage of Scripture, and then the Scripture follow it, and the books that follow it, all the way through the rest of the Old Testament and into the New Testament, into Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and go over even into the book of Acts, and you will discover that God had his hand upon the people, and we discover that these people whom God wanted to be the disseminators of the word, they came to a point where they disobeyed, and God said, it's enough. All of us are aware of the fact that God moved in a miraculous way in the life of an individual by the name of Saul of Tarsus. And you find his conversion in Acts chapter 9. And then you will find that throughout the rest of the wonderful New Testament, that Jesus Christ used the Apostle Paul over and over again to take the message now not to the Israel, the Jews, but to the Gentiles. This entire story that we find here in this great book, I believe, gives us a clear picture of God's free grace in Christ to his elect, the true Israel of God. And if you'll follow, you will discover that even though we see the disobedience of the people of Israel, and we see that they're shut down, and then on comes the age of grace and all of the beautiful, magnificent time in which you and I now live, well, we discover something that's going to take place, and that is that after the rapture, there will be the continuation and consummation of the age of Israel. I don't know whether you all tied this together, but I want you to see that after the rapture takes place, the Bible vividly depicts the fact that there will be 144 Jews that will be converted, and they will become the evangelists of that period of time known as the tribulation. We've talked about this many times in past years, but there are various waves of evangelism that will come during those 7 years of tribulation. What we're able to see is that God has a purpose and a plan for the Jews. The entire story in this great book gives us a clear picture of God's free grace in Christ to his elect, the true Israel of God. Now, if you're following along, let's begin with a few points. Number one, like the Jews of old, we've turned aside from our God, his word, his way, his worship. And the scripture says of them and of us, they went whoring after other gods according to our own lust. I believe that what classified the age of Israel classifies many in the age of grace. Like the Jews of old, we too in the age of grace have turned aside from our God. We've turned aside from his word. We've turned aside from his way. We've turned away from true worship. And we have gone whoring after other gods according to our own lust. Could I pause here for a moment to tell you that this is a typical picture of the condition of a lot of people who claim to be born again believers in this magnificent age called the Age of Grace. I want to repeat because it's necessary for me to let you see it. Like the Jews of old, we turned aside from our God, from his word, his way, his worship, and we've gone out whoring after other gods according to our own lust. There's a second thing that I notice here is the Lord God, in his word, has threatened a severe but just and everlasting punishment to be executed upon us for our sin. There are two things that I want you to see. One is that a person who refuses to accept the plan of God's salvation, if they continue to go that way and die in that condition, they will have a time of eternity in a place called the lake of fire. On the other hand, those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, while we're here on the earth, the Lord says he has a way of taking care of us when we disobey him. There is, first of all, warning discipline. There is intense discipline. And there is the sin unto death discipline that awaits individuals in this church age who choose to disobey the plan of God. When I go to the book of Hebrews, I find, he whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. It goes on to say, if you be without chastisement, wherein all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. And that word is illegitimate, which emphasizes the fact that you and I must realize that God will chasten us when we disobey Him. He has His own way of doing the way He wants to do it. But He can disobey, He can chasten us when we disobey. Sometimes it's simple, very simple chastening. It's a spanking, so to speak. Or if we don't pay attention to the spanking, He can become more intense in the application of discipline to us. If we choose not to follow and be obedient in the midst of the two types of discipline I've already mentioned, then the last discipline is a severe, which is the sin unto death. You'll notice that's presented to us in number 2. Number 3, yet in wrath, our God remembers mercy. He has promised that He shall save those of Adam's fallen race by His almighty free grace in Christ. It's amazing to me when I think in terms of how much God loves us and cares for us. When I was looking out for Micah 2:13, statements about Jesus the breaker, I read where one said, I make no apology for taking the words before us as having their only real accomplishment in the office and working of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the breaker which has come up before us. He it is that has broken out the path on which we may travel. Jesus Christ, the breaker. He is the one that has broken out the path on which we may travel, and in whom, in a manner which the prophet dreamed not of, the Lord is at the head of us, and our King goes before us. So that my object, the fellow said, is simply to take that great name, the breaker, and to see the manifold ways in which in Scripture it is applied to the various work of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. What I'm trying to tell you is that I enjoyed reading various comments that individuals made about this particular verse. Again, take another application of this same figure found in Scripture, which sets forth Jesus Christ as being the opener of the path to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And said he, and again, by a new and living way which he had opened up for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We can have free access with confidence by the faith of him. That is to say, if we rightly understand our natural condition, it is not only one of bondage to evil, but it is one of separation from God. Parts of the divine character are always beautiful and sweet to every human heart when it thinks about them. Parts of the divine character stand frowning before a man who knows himself for what he is. And conscience tells us that between God and us, there's a mountain piled up by our own evil. To us, Christ comes, the pathfinder and the path, the pioneer who breaks the way for us through all the hindrances and leads us up into the presence of God. My, I could not help but tell you that when I read this, I felt like I needed to read that to you. When I went to Ellicott's commentary, I found the breaker. And he says, this breaker is, by the confession of the Jews, the title of the Messiah. The same appeareth by that saying of Moses, the plantation from above is Messiah, as it is written, the breaker is come up before them. Now, Jesus is called many things, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star, all these things I referred to. But here, he's referred to as the breaker. McLaren's exposition, he says, if we know that our Savior is the path breaker through the divine presence, in that he not only makes God known to us, and not only makes him so known to us as to draw us to him, but in that likewise he, by the fact of his cross and passion, has borne and borne away the impediments of our sin and transgressions, which rise forever between us and him, unless he shall sweep them out of the way. The breaker. He has made the rough places plain and the crooked things straight. He's leveled the mountains. He's raised the valleys. He's cast up across all the wilderness of the world a highway along which the wayfaring man, though a fool, may travel. I just have to tell you that I was blessed when I read these words. Let me read on. He has made us. He's made the rough places plain, the crooked things straight. He's leveled the mountains and raised the valleys. He's cast up across all the wilderness of the world a highway along which the wayfaring man, though a fool, may travel. Narrow understandings may know, and selfish hearts may love, and low-pitched confessions may reach the ear of the God who comes near to us in Christ, that we in Christ may come near to him. The breaker is gone up before us. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us, let us draw near with true hearts. I'm anxious to show you this page, but I'm not going to do it now. Number three again, yet in wrath, our God remembers mercy. He's promised that he shall save those of Adam's fallen race by his almighty free grace in Christ. Are you able to see that Jesus Christ now is being referred to as the breaker, which perhaps you've never heard of or thought about? Number four, that one who is our Savior and Deliverer, God's dear Son, our all-glorious Christ, is here called the breaker. I want to pause for a moment to tell you that next Sunday, as I've already mentioned, is Christmas Day. And normally we are away on Christmas Day. And I came to the conclusion that I did not want to be away next Sunday because I want to deal with the subject of the awesome God. I'm tempted to preach that tonight and then let you hear it again next Sunday, but I won't do that. I want you to understand that the Bible presents the magnificence of the members of the Godhead. Deity 1, Deity 2, Deity 3. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When I look through the passages of the Old Testament, I discover that Deity 2, the pre-existent Christ, before he became the God-man, God in the flesh, he was very active throughout the Old Testament books. And these are referred to as theophanies. Most of you have heard this many, many times. It's expressed in different ways. But when you find your way in the Old Testament and you find your way through the various scriptures that refer to the Lord Jesus Christ in the manifestation of the pre-existent Christ before the existent Christ, before the God in the flesh, we see Jesus Christ extremely, very much active in the Old Testament. All of us are aware of the fact that the pre-existent Christ became the existent Christ. This is God in the flesh. And when I think in terms of how this all took place, I see the virgin conception and the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see the fact that Jesus Christ did not have a human father. Jesus Christ was born, conceived of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit furnished all that was necessary to bring about the conception and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are aware of the fact that the old sin nature is passed down from the father to the child and not from the mother to the child. So had Jesus had an earthly father, he would have had an old sinful nature. But he didn't have an old sinful nature because the Holy Spirit brought about the virgin conception and the virgin birth. And Jesus Christ then was born different than any other individual, because when you and I are born, we're born physically alive and spiritually dead. Not true of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the only one capable and the only one who is able to pay for the sins of mankind. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, was all God and all man. So I look at the picture of the Trinity, Deity 1, Deity 2, Deity 3. And I see Deity 2, the pre-existent Christ, becoming the existent Christ, who is the eternal Christ. And I understand, as you all understand, that Jesus Christ is our high priest now. Jesus Christ died, was buried, came forth out of the grave, ascended to sit at the Father's right hand, and the Father said, I'm satisfied with what you've done. Sit thou at my right hand. And so Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Let me look back here at number 4. That one who is our Savior and Deliverer, God's dear Son, our all-glorious Christ, is here called the Breaker. Christ is the Breaker. And all who are saved by Him are described as broken up. I want you to stay with me for a few moments, and I want to tell you, you've been broken up. God did something great for you and me in that we have been broken up. Blessed are those who are broken by Him in mercy, because He determined not to crush us with His wrath, but save us with His grace. That's the reason why I have this that I want to show you. And I'll now put it on the screen for you. It is better to be broken than to be crushed. And perhaps you ought to write that somewhere. It's better to be broken than to be crushed. Micah chapter 2, 13. So the individual said, I make no apology for taking the words before us, having their only real accomplishment in the office and working of Jesus Christ. He is the breaker which has come up before us. He is that has broken out the path on which we may travel, and in whom, in manner which the prophet dreamed not of, the Lord is at the head, and our King goes before us. So that my object is simple, to take that great name, the Breaker, and to see the manifold ways in which in Scripture is applied to the various work of Jesus Christ, our Redemptor. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but me. And He said again, by a new and living way, which He hath opened for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, we can have free access with confidence by the faith of Him. That is to say, if we rightly understand our natural condition, it is not only one of bondage to evil, but it is one of separation from God. Parts of the divine character are always beautiful and sweet to every human heart when it thinks about them. Parts of the divine character stand frowning before a man who knows himself for what he is. And conscience tells us that between God and us, there's a mountain piled up by our own evil. To us, Christ comes, the pathfinder and the path, the pioneer who breaks the way for us through all the hindrances and leads us up to the presence of God. The Breaker. Eliot's commentary says, the Breaker is, by the confession of the Jews, the title of the Messiah. The same appeareth by that saying of Moses, the plantation from above is Messiah, as it is written, the Breaker is come up before them. Alexander McLaren went on to say, if we know that our Savior is the pathbreaker to the divine presence, in that He not only makes God known to us, And not only makes him so known to us as to draw us to him, but in that likewise he, by the fact of his cross and passion, has borne and has borne away the impediments of our own sin and transgression, which rise forever between us and him, unless he shall sweep them out of the way. He has made the rough places plain. He's made the crooked things straight. He's leveled the mountains and raised the valleys and cast up across all the wilderness of the world a highway along which the wayfaring man, though a fool, may travel. Narrow understandings may know, and selfish hearts may love, and low-pitched confessions may reach the ear of the God who comes near to us in Christ, that we are in Christ made, may come near to him. The breaker is gone up before us, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. Let us draw near with true hearts. Would you do me a favor and look back at our verse? What does it say? I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep in the fold, like a flock in the midst of the pasture. The breaker goes up before them. They break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. So their king goes on before them, and the Lord is at the head. When I thought about this, I came to the conclusion, and I have it on the screen for you. It is better to be broken than to be crushed. It is amazing to me when I think about what Jesus Christ has done for us. He was willing to leave all that we find in relationship to the glory of heaven. And we see Jesus Christ, God's Son, being willing to come to this earth as the God-man and willing to go to the cross and die for you and for me and for the sins of the whole world. God wants us to be broken because of our disobedience and our sin. But he wants us to realize that we're not to be crushed. We are to allow the one who's opened up the pathway to control us and to lead us and to direct us. It's amazing to me when I think in terms of your life and mine and what has happened to us over the years. I see the emphasis upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring to us salvation. I read this statement. So then, Christians, following him, the captain of their salvation, strengthened by his grace, must burst the bars of the flesh and of the world, the chains and bonds of evil passions and habits, force themselves through the narrow way, the narrow gate, do violence to themselves, 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardness. As good soldiers of Jesus Christ, the title of our Lord, the breaker through, and the saying, they break through, together express the same as the New Testament death in regard to our being partakers of the sufferings of Christ, found in Romans 8:17. Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we must suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. 1 Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The words may include also the removal of the souls of the just who had believed in Christ before his coming into heaven after his resurrection, and will be fully completed when, in the end, he shall cause his faithful servants in body and soul to enter into the joy of their Lord. Have you thought about it? How far are you, how far are we, away from being in the presence of our Savior throughout eternity? Have you heard me say this in past days? We're only one heartbeat. We're only one breath away. I'm sure that you've thought about that, and all of us must realize that Jesus Christ, God's Son, was willing to be broken for us to make possible the pathway of salvation for mankind. You and I must understand that we're here for a brief period of time, only a very brief period of time. And while we're here, God wants us to be properly related to Him. You'll notice all these verses I referred to. In other words, we have the responsibility of putting aside the energies of the flesh, the control of the old sinful nature, and live our lives properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to lay the foundation for us to understand how great God is, how awesome. And when I think in terms of the preparation for the message for next Sunday, our God is an awesome God. And I began to try to find the song, Our God is an Awesome God. And I found it. And I found out as I looked at that song that it had in it some things that are extremely great and wonderful. But I also found some other things that I wanted to tell you that I see that they don't need to really be there in that song. I want you to understand that the Bible says Jesus is God's Son, the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the one who went to the cross and died for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ is the one who came forth out of the grave, victorious over death and hell and the grave and sin, and ascended to sit at the Father's hand to make intercession for us. Jesus Christ is the one who was broken for us, that we might have this magnificent pathway, the pathway of salvation and the pathway of obedience and joy and peace and happiness in this life. This is an unusual verse of Scripture. Jesus is broken for us. It is better to be broken than to be crushed. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Tonight, Father, we're thankful that Jesus Christ was willing to be broken for us. We realize that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the only way of hope for mankind. Jesus said, I am the way. We realize that the object of salvation is the person of Jesus Christ. No one gets to the heaven except through Jesus Christ, because He said, I am the way. It's faith alone in Christ alone. And so we're thankful tonight that for all of us in this auditorium, we've made that decision, perhaps. We've accepted Jesus Christ. He's accepted us. It may have been a few months ago, a few years ago, or many years ago. But whenever that took place, we accepted you and you accepted us. And we are redeemed by your matchless grace, regenerated. Our names have been recorded. We thank you so much for salvation. We ask tonight that those who hear this voice on this particular day, those who have yet not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, would understand the importance of believing. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we do not know, as individuals listen to the message, We do not know the individual's hearts and minds, but you do. And you know those who yet have not trusted you as Savior, and those who have already accepted you as Savior. And so we speak tonight to those who, first of all, have not yet accepted you, that they will understand that God loves them and they can become believers in Jesus Christ if they will accept you even at this moment. And for all who have accepted you, the challenge for all of us as believers is to live our lives in right relationship to our Savior. Find ourselves in that magnificent sphere of power, which is divine, that we may be able to fulfill your plan for us in the brief years that you let us live on this earth. We thank you for salvation and that Jesus is the way and that people can believe and be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that now. Father, thank you for this message. And we thank you for the Word of God. And we realize that Jesus Christ was the one willing to be broken for us. He was willing to die, to suffer, to bleed, and to die. And out of all the suffering, we realize that the suffering physically was great. But beyond that, far greater than even that suffering, however great it was the suffering in those dark hours when Jesus Christ was bearing the sins of the world. And we realize that he took our sins upon himself. Though not a sinner himself, he took our sins and he paid for those sins. The only one qualified to do that. The sinless Son of God, without any disobedience, pure, perfect, sinless, the one only one willing and capable of doing that, went to the cross to pay for the sins of the world. We pray that many tonight will see their need and accept you as their Savior. And we thank you again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.